Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. All right, we are back this week with part two of our two-part episode with Susan and spirituality through partnership with horses. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about what she means when she says the divine car wash and integrating after her trip to India and getting back to horses after that as well. We're going to talk a little bit about the Horsewoods Haven land, which in the intro was the 88-acre farm that I talked about, her connection to other animals, what she means when she says plasma suits, and her self-seeds program and the 11 aspects in teaching mind-body communication to kids and its development in India and Kentucky. And the self-seeds program is really interesting. It's something that she's actively trying to launch right now and makes a lot of sense to me and definitely seems like something that should be in most of the school systems in the U.S. So stay tuned for that as well, and we are going to dive right in. So
coming back to India real quick. So you stayed there for a while, and you've gone back and forth for a while as well. So what switched for you in India when you were like, okay, cool, I'm ready to come back? And then how did you get back to horses? Because you'd use the word pain. There was a little bit of kind of trauma maybe there. So how did you find your way back to horses, but in this even more raw experience now than kind of what you had before?
Wonderful question. So actually, after being there, I remember there was a day where I was in a state of being where more the inner experience and the outer experience seemed to be harmonized in a way. It wasn't like I was having a deep meditation and I was living in the exterior.
Okay.
So a lot of the work there had been experiencing, I call it the divine car wash, you know, sitting and then these deep alchemy changes happen. And then you go out and you live, right? So you go back more to the three-dimensional aspect. And so it's this mixture of things. So there was a day where I was sitting, and my time with Gurudev wasn't based on a lot of talking. You know, when I asked permission to come back originally, he looked at me and said, "Why do you want to come back?" And I said, "I'd like to know if it's possible to have inner peace anywhere with anyone at any time, like I have with nature and the horses." Because this was the conundrum, was my scratchiness and the human scratchiness. Mm. And so he said, "Yes, it's possible. You'll have tools. You'll fall in and out of it, but you'll have tools to find your way back." And so, but he said, "I'm not going to be teaching you like a normal Sangha where we have discussion. Your work is the inner work." So I remember thinking, oh, okay. I mean, I love asking questions. I am like the biggest question asker ever. I'm so curious about everything.
I love that.
And so I remember thinking, well, that isn't so different than training horses, because obviously with the horse, you're always working on the no language. You know, you're always working on what is the inner communication. So I remember thinking, okay, maybe this is, you know, kind of like that. I didn't know. I mean, absolutely didn't know. Didn't know anybody who lived in India. Didn't know anybody who went to India. Didn't know. I mean, but that day I think it was 3 years, it was ironic because I was sitting in the ashram and there was a little baby bird that fell out of a nest. And I remember watching the mother taking care of this baby bird. And I was kind of in this, I'm going to say this alchemy state. And he looked at me and he said, "You realize you're having a real spiritual experience." Like he never pointed things out like that. So for him to say that, I'll never forget. You know how you have experiences, you never, like, even talking about, I can feel what that was. And so basically after that, he he sent me away. He said, you're ready to go back. And I'm thinking, go back where and do what? You know, I was just kind of getting in the flow of this new design. So I'm like, what madness are you talking about now? You know, and I was thinking, did I do something wrong that I'm getting kicked out? It's just getting good now.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, I see now looking back strategically, a huge amount of work had to happen where I was back being a functioning human being. I'm going to call it that,
sure.
You know, with a job and responsibilities mm-hmm. and all those things, and still trying to make sense out of all the stuff that I had become aware of in my design in India was arduous. I mean, if you had told me, I mean, I don't know if I would have signed up if I had known all of this unfolding that had to happen. It wasn't like you just had mystical experiences and then you're good to go, at least in my case.
Yeah.
I still have fall down and stand up every day.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm constantly learning, seeing blind spots, all these things. So when I asked him, you know, and he said, well, you can go back. And I go, what am I going to do? I mean, that was a strange question, but it kind of just blurted out of me.
Of course.
And he's like, well, you like horses. And I was like, by that time, I wasn't thinking about being a horse trainer. So it was so funny because I go, all right. And then because I had, I had loyal clients and I had a reputation for, you know, skills in the horse world. So when I came back, I just kind of picked up again.
Nice.
And went in it. But this time I would say I came to the same point of disconnect, which is why I'm in Kentucky. And I have a collection of horses that I literally rescued from different arms of the horse world at the auction. So I have this interesting collection of horses retired here that represent like racing and saddlebred, you know, different things.
Yeah.
And so sort of funny. But I did go through another circle in the horse world, only with my perspective from India.
Yeah, which would have been really
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, dramatically like different. Mm-hmm.
And then exactly. And then what's so funny now is I was willing to sell the farm, be done with horses again, and then here you are asking me about my spiritual connection with horses. And then I have a program called Awakened Horsemanship that just got trademarked. That was part of a marketing scheme that was basically self seeds or ride like a dancer for horses, horse people. But I'm focusing more on that program in the public school system and things. But again, it's almost like the horse world won't let go of me. I keep being willing to let go of it. And it just keeps like a slingshot. It keeps coming back. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the horses. It's so perfect. You know, I'm learning. I take care of the horses. So all the manure from the stable goes out onto the land. I use a wheelbarrow and a rake.
Nice.
And it's so cool because by taking care of the land here by hand, seeing the growth and the how much the land appreciates the fertilizer and the care, it's like the place is just, it was already stunning, but I'm seeing how everything is impacted. So the horses are these amazing placeholders out here.
Mm.
And they give me kind of a 24-hour design because I manage them as purely an attendant, where depending on the bugs, the weather, how much grass there is, that dictates whether they come in or they go out or when or how. So I don't really have like a schedule. A lot of horse places I have schedules because
gotcha.
They have a staff. I'm more like just living attendant for them. Kind of like
nice.
The Bedouin with the tent, only I happen to have a, you know, a stable and a house.
Yeah, exactly. When you talk about this connection and this bond with horses and being more of a partnership and being in a position, I guess, to sort of help them also develop, would you say that you have a similar connection with other animals as horses, or is it unique to horses for you?
Great question. You know, I have two cats and a dog now that are part of Horsewoods Haven. And so because most of my life has been being a global nomad, I've never lived for any extended period of time after I left home at 17. I mean, even then I was competing and yeah. I was away a lot. My life has been about moving around the globe. So being here with this collection of animals, I realize it does extend to all the other animals. And I think what's so profound for me is they watch me. They know when I drive in, when I drive out, when I come out from the house is near the barn. I mean, it's this, and I think about, I kind of laugh because when I leave the house, it's just a, you know, 30-second walk to the stable. But sometimes I've been doing things, more two-legged things in the house. And in order to get myself in the right state of mind to I'm going to say, go to their level of listening, sensing, and feeling, I'll spend a little time maybe hand weeding the driveway or doing something that connects me to the earth.
Grounding.
One thing living in Kentucky, I don't use any poison. Yeah, I don't use any poisons on the land here. So it means a lot of handwork. And I love it. But I can tell it's almost, yeah, grounding. It sets me in a place so that I can discard maybe human noise that I don't need to carry into their life. They're quietly sitting out there. Their only disturbance is maybe the bugs. We have horseflies certain times a year. So their only disturbance is, when am I coming out to do something, and or what are the bugs doing? So for me then to consciously try to unwrap that so they don't need to take that in. I know when I was at the ashram, it was sort of the same. I always felt like Gurudev, that we walked in, we were like these plastic plasma sacks that he could look at and know what was going on, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
So we're these living plasma sacks. And so when I was in the ashram, one of the strategies I came to, because I had this relationship with him, or he felt like an atomic bomb in a chair to me.
Okay.
And so this idea of a plasma sack, so I kind of took that idea, like when I was in the ashram, I would come in and I noticed that, you know, I was had my list of personal disturbances from walking or whatever life thing I was doing. And I felt such a sense of respect and reverence for this person that was receiving me every day in the ashram. And so I would often come in and I would sit quietly, not in his presence, but somewhere else while I sort of cleared myself, I'm going to say it that way. So I would actually, in a way, premeditate. I wouldn't just go sit in front of him because I thought he doesn't need to see this messy plasma sack. And so I would sit quietly. And then I would get to a place that I felt fairly, I'm going to say, presentable, you know, and then I would shift over more in his presence or his awareness. Now, it's my own nonsense. I'm sure with those beings, it doesn't matter where you are on the planet. If you're living with this holographic principle, then it's not, you know, so it's just me learning. But that idea sort of stuck with me. And I feel like that for the horses, is that I want to show up for them to be able to hear and feel them and what they need. Yeah. And it's not about my story. It's about their story. And it's the same, I find, for the cats and the dogs. Everybody, it's about listening. The grass, the trees, it doesn't matter. It's trying to get to a place of listening, deep listening.
I think, so what I hear you saying is presence. You're kind of taking yourself out of whatever it might have been that you were, this distraction, whatever you were thinking about, and like bringing yourself back to like actual intentional presence with animals, in this case, the Gurudev at the ashram, other, you know, you could do this with people, but I think you're not wrong, right? In that our energy is impacted by all of those things. So when we're chaotic in our brain, our energy, our physical, the energy we present when we are physically with our three-dimensional bodies, you know, standing in front of somebody or an animal, like they can feel that. People can feel that. Not everybody, but like animals definitely can feel it. Not every person is receptive or aware of maybe what it is that they're feeling. But I think you have a really, really great point, which is coming to presence and sort of taking – we talked about in the podcast episode with Deb on mental health, her sort of tip for people was pausing, breathing, and awareness, and just taking, you know, even just one breath to recognize that you're breathing and get out of this sort of automatic functioning state to just come back to kind of reality. And so I think it's very similar.
Absolutely. We just have different motivations for finding presence. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody benefits from this. You know, that was one of my hopes with Awakened Horsemanship or Self Seeds, was to help people understand mind, body, and inner communication as an experience.
Yeah.
Because how do you know, even though we talk about it, it's different than actually feeling it and experiencing it. You know, for me, those moments that I changed my life and what I call the divine car wash is what were those experiences.
Yeah.
And not as a mental construct completely.
Yeah.
It was so deep. It was beyond the mental construct, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's different than knowing it. It's different than being able to do it. Like, you need practice, you know? And so I'm interested. So we haven't talked a lot about Self Seeds. We've got a little bit more time. Like, what is that program? You've said you've been working on it for a long time. I know that there was a horse sort of aspect to the program initially as well. So if you want to talk a little bit more about that program.
Well, the irony is when I looked at stopping horse training, this is really recent. This is only in the last 6 months that I decided not to be a professional horse trainer, but I love living on this farm. It is so awesome. And so you go, it's a little like the ashram, now what?
Mm.
And so I felt inclined to pursue this program, Self Seeds, and I've had amazing help from a diversity of people, from the very first lady who saw the program and said, you realize this could be a global program. And I was so shocked because, you know, that wasn't my life or my thinking, but it's been like this living template that has just been part of my life. Wherever I am, when I was in India, I shared it. Wherever I was, sometimes in Europe, in the United States. So it's this program that has 11 aspects to it that you literally experience. So when you're done after an hour of the program, you have a map of yourself. Instead of it reading about yourself or getting ideas, you literally have a map of yourself. So my team felt that this would be really impactful for kids because they're finding their way. And I know when I was a child, I didn't understand about my mind, body, and inner communication, and things like COVID and bullying and all the cyber stuff. And the, you know, now we have shooter drills and things like that. Is all of that becomes this disturbance, you know, the suicide rate for kids and all this. So ironically, I started to see with the help of other people too, that this could be a really impactful, simple, it's not religious program that kids could start to understand themselves and how to go inward and then how to put that with partnering. Mm. So like the first group of seeds or eight are things like fitness and weight distribution, flexibility and balance. And then I have a seed called integration or I-band where you start to put all that together and know yourself. And then I use skills from my dancing with partnering skills. And then the 11th seed is more of a, I'm going to say an esoteric, like what brings you joy. So you have this kaleidoscope and a mini plan. And I have to say, it's been quite an interesting journey. Even here in Kentucky, I live in a very conservative rural area. And I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I would say I'm blinded by liberalness, because my reflex is to be, is to be inclusive and not really think about separation of color and preferences and all of that. It wasn't really part of my life. So my world travels and where I've lived have really helped me understand that more. So I know that, like in Kentucky, they want to grow awareness for kids with innovative programs. But kind of where I am is they don't know quite what that is. Whereas we were researching some things in California and they have a program. It's different, but the idea of experiencing, I think it's called the toolbox. And I almost fell over because it's the closest I've seen to what I'm doing. And so it's going gangbusters and they've grown it all over the United States. I literally just found this 2 days ago. So I feel hopeful that there is a need. There is a need, but the hard work, I go and I drive and I talk to principals and teachers, but they understand, but it's so different to have the experience. I mean, that's again the uniqueness. So I just did a group of three different sections of summer camp. And I got to work with, I'd never worked with tiny kids, like K through two. And the teachers were watching this experience. It was super fun because the kids were like so playful and just having a ball with it. It was like a wild party with small children having a life experience and so much enthusiasm and creativity. And the people watching, they said, wow. If we could have only had that installed earlier in our lives. So I feel like, again, it's all going and it's driving me in my own personal development. So I have these two things going on, right? And now the installation of it, it's challenging. And there's times where I go, wait a minute, this cannot be any harder than going to India and working on all my blind spots, all my places of pain and separation, the irony. So it's life. It's life. And so we'll see what happens, but I'm starting literally a new journey.
Well, that sounds really good. I love that. And I think what I took from and sort of resonated with when I was looking at the Self Seeds program really was that intentional awareness. And so I think we grow up in, and not everybody, of course, not every society, not every family, but as somebody who has trauma, big T, little T, like whatever, like we are not things. It's like things are hidden. They get talked about or whatever, but we don't bring them to the light. And so we can't name them and we can't label them and we can't address them because we don't know them. And the types of things you talk about in your program, like flexibility, like that's a great life skill. Where in the school system in the US do we focus on flexibility? Like, honestly, like nowhere, really, right? Like, it's all very regimented. Yes, there are like sports and things, but like, really, what it's like when kids go to high school, like, I think I read like in Montessori schools, they learn how to like balance checkbooks and read bank statements and all this kind of like really useful stuff. And it's like, flexibility, super useful. What are we doing in a society to help people with that? We could do the same thing that we're doing with bank statements, but so programs like yours are like really just bringing to the forefront these things that we know are important, but it's like we don't have a system set up currently to facilitate teaching people that. Well, you do.
Well, I love your observation because I feel the same way, And so it's interesting trying to install it. I'm going to say it that way. When I had a very deep friend, dear friend, who does huge scale animal rescue. She runs a whole help and suffering, a horse, an animal rescue for all animals in Jaipur, the city I lived. And she had me share self-seeds 10, 12 years ago. So recently I was in India visiting Gurudev and sitting more input. And she offered to help me develop it in India in their curriculum. So I love that opportunity, but somehow I feel like I wanted to keep walking in this nut to crack, so to speak, and plant the seed because there is such a need. You know, kids are universal.
Yeah.
And there's such a need.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know. I mean, we'll see if there's ever an opening, but I'm learning a lot in the journey of it. And then my hope is too, that I could have like busloads of kids come to the farm and they could do self seeds.
Absolutely.
And then it's set up. I have three labyrinths that I built on the land and having the horses in the fields so that people could come experience self seeds and then have the beauty of nature and the labyrinth and everything to feel nature while they're learning about themselves, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does. It does. I love that. I love that. Well, Susan, we have gotten kind of to the end of our time here, and I've got two final questions. So the first one is, what is one tip about living as a spiritual being in this human existence that you would like to share with the listeners?
I think the biggest one is about flow, is trying to listen to flow. So even when things are bumpy, it's not to run away from them. It's trying to, I'm going to say, look inside of the bumpiness, which is usually a human construct in myself. But using that idea of flow as sort of a baseline for operating. And it doesn't mean easy. It just means there's a felt alignment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. All right. Well, what is the best way for people to get in contact with you if they have questions or they want to reach out or they want to learn more about the Self Seeds program?
Well, thank you for asking. There's a website for Self Seeds that's official. And so there's that. And then there's also a website for the farm. It's Horsewoods Haven. So either way, you can email, call, text, you know, and I'd love to hear if anybody has any questions or they'd like to visit or, you know, again, this is all meant to be shared. This isn't about me just managing a beautiful farm. It's going to be shared.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Susan. This was a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, Rebecca. You've asked really great questions, and I love how you're thinking strategically in such a beautiful way with all of this. So thank you.
All right, everybody. That is the end of our part two of our two-part episode for Spirituality Through Partnership with Horses with Susan. It's really pretty interesting, and I'm excited about her self-seeds program. It's definitely something I think that should be implemented in the U.S. school system. And when I have kids will be something that I'll be looking out for, the camps that she offers and all of that. So go check out her website. If you have a question for Susan or I, please feel free to comment directly on the episode in Spotify or reach out on Instagram. All of the appropriate links will be in the podcast description, and we will see you next week. Thank you for joining me on today's Spirituality What? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.